We have spent a bulk of the morning trying to, well, we've really been venting about the Phillies' performance in their series against Atlanta and trying to really understand why, but sadly emotions have got the best of us, so we need to bring an expert on the line to really break down what exactly went wrong and say it in a more delightful way, as he always does. He does a brilliant job covering the Philadelphia Phillies for MLB.com. Todd Zielecki joins us. Morning, Todd.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Well, we're not that great. After Friday night, it might have been great, but after that, it's been all downhill. Todd, you have covered the Phillies and Major League Baseball for many years now. There are moments in a season, I should say, are there moments in a season that can cause a team to either spiral out of control, or, you know, and moments that can maybe awaken a sleeping giant? And if so, did we witness either of those this weekend?
Yeah, I certainly think that a win like Saturday could wake up the Braves. There's no doubt that they've been struggling, considering their talent on that team. I thought that they were the favorites to win the division going into the season, certainly because they've won it the last 3 years. And I think a win like that, where you are down three times beginning in the ninth inning and you come back to win, that could be a huge boost. In terms of the Phillies, I you know, could that send them into a spiral? I don't know if I believe that so much, only because I just think that those three pitchers, now I know Nola did not pitch well last night, but I think Nola, Wheeler, and Eflin, they're going to be able to prevent some long losing streaks. Now, so does that – so spiral in the sense of just – they keep kind of sputtering like they have been the first month of the season. They could get back to that, but I don't think they're going to go into some sort of, like, you know, massive free fall.
Well, Todd, you just mentioned the blown leads Saturday night in the 9th, 11th, brutal, and 12th inning. Ever seen that before?
I've never seen that before. In fact, on the broadcast last night, Scott Fransky said that that was only the second time since 1900 the Phillies have blown three saves in one game. I think the other one was in 1951. I've never seen that. It was absolutely insane. Listen, guys, we've seen a lot of really bad Phillies losses over the past.
No, that's up there with, like, top five.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, they were not only did they have a two-run lead in the ninth inning, they were one strike away from winning that game. And then I asked Joe about this after the game on Saturday. Remember that bottom of the 10th inning? They intentionally walked the bases loaded because they were in such a bad spot. They bring in Bryce Harper from right field to first base. I mean, they're, like, pulling out all the stops. They get a ground ball to Alec Boehm. He throws home for the force out, and then Brandon Kinsler gets a strikeout. I'm going, oh, my God, I can't believe they survived that. It worked. Yeah. And then they take the lead in the 11th. I'm like, this is an unbelievable win for these guys. This, you know, when they save this game in the bottom of the 11th, I was, you know, considering what happened in the 10th and what happened in the 9th, and of course they blew it, and then they blew it spectacularly in the 12th.
Well, let's go to that 9th inning. Hector Neris on the mound records two quick outs. Phillies are leading 3-1. All right, we're going to take a series victory over the Braves in Atlanta, win 6 in a row. And then allows a walk, which is okay, whatever. Stepping to the plate, pinch hitter Pablo Sandoval, who has one job and one job alone, and has a notorious weakness to the splitter. Todd, why on earth a fastball down the middle?
Yeah, we asked Joe that. We asked Hector that. They both maintained that it was the right pitch, just a bad spot. And I don't know if you got how closely you guys watched that replay or if you watched it that night, but did you see JT Realmuto's reaction?
No.
He absolutely, when that ball was hit, he knew it was gone. He was, like, so disgusted at that moment. And I don't know if he was disgusted because it was a home run or he didn't want that pitch. Very clearly, he missed the location. It was supposed to be out, up and out over the plate. And it was, I mean, it was.
Do you even take a chance with Pablo Salad with that pitch? I mean, you just don't pitch to him.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't.
He's going to chase.
Yes, and that's why we asked the question. We're like, why wouldn't you throw the splitter there? That's his bread and butter. That's Hector Neris's bread and butter. Everybody knows it. You know, his strength is his splitter. So for a guy like Pablo Sandoval, who's I think he already had three pinch hit home runs. You just don't want to give him anything to hit in that spot. And they did, and we saw what happened. He crushed it. He absolutely crushed it.
Well, and Todd, post-game, Joe Girardi's obviously asked about, you know, Hector Neris, the future at closer,
right.
And he continues to say that he has faith in him and says all the right things. Do you think he truly believes that, or there's just no other option?
I think he believes it for the time being. And you know, if you looked at his numbers entering Saturday night's game, he had been very good. He had a 1.88 ERA in 15 appearances. He had been pitching well. But Hector has a reputation of, you know, it's not like when he blows a save, I feel like with Hector, I don't know if you guys agree, but I feel like when Hector blows a save, he does it spectacularly. It's not like
oh, he does it really well. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Gut-wrenching.
It's not like a walk, a bloop single to right, and then a bloop single to left, or like a ball that just gets through the infield. It usually seems to be walk, home run.
Yes.
I know you guys don't remember, or you guys might not remember this, but I was at Dodger Stadium several years ago when he gave up back-to-back-to-back home runs at Dodger Stadium. Like, those are the moments I kind of associate when Hector Neris blows a save. They seem to be more moments like that than the, oh my gosh, broken bat, walk, broken bat, you know, game over, that type of thing.
I mean, but Todd, even after you get past that, somehow in the 11th, you know, Nick Maton, who's been a diamond in the rough thus far,
yeah,
you know, puts them ahead. We go to the bottom half. There's an egregious error by Didi Gregorius, tie game again. Then we go to the 12th. Oh my God, it's over. The Atlanta Braves are a horrible fielding team. The Phils take advantage. They put up three runs in the 12th. All Aniel De Los Santos has to do, he can allow two runs and they still win the game. Let me get this right in order. De Los Santos, walk, single, bases clearing, double. Todd, how does that happen?
Yeah, you know, this is just kind of goes back to some, you know, the lack of depth, I think, that the Phillies have in the organization. Archie Bradley is still hurt. You know, if Archie had been healthy, you know, who knows who pitches that 11th inning. But they put it on De Los Santos because the rest of the guys in the bullpen at that moment, I think, were Matt Moore, Ranger Suarez. I'm trying to think who else had not pitched. But so Joe, and I get it. Like, if those are my options, I'm also going with De Los Santos because he throws hard. You're hoping he can miss a few bats, maybe get some weak contact if a guy does put the ball in play. And it absolutely blew up in their face, you know. And again, same thing, like the top of the 12th inning. Bases loaded. Harper hits a chopper back to the mound. The pitcher fields it cleanly. A two-base throwing error, two-run score. I'm going, wow, this is going to be an unbelievable win for these guys. You know, like this could, you know, they're going to have a six-game winning streak. They haven't done that since July of 2018. They're going to have the chance to sweep the Braves in Atlanta. They haven't done that since 2014. They're going to have a chance at a seven-game winning streak. They haven't done that since September of 2012. And obviously, that's all gone now.
One final question about Saturday night, and Joe Girardi has taken a lot of heat for this season for some of the decisions that he has made within a game. Can you explain why he took out the team's best hitter in Gene Segura as part of a double switch, which also inserted minor leaguer Scott Kingery?
Yes. That we followed up with Joe on that yesterday, and he explained that at the time, you know, they're not – obviously, he's not playing for extra innings in that moment. He's going for the win. They needed length out of the relief pitchers. And I get that. I understand that thinking. I do. But my argument, I guess, would be is the piece that you inserted to hit for the relief pitcher to get you that additional length, and that is Scott Kingery. He's 1-for-12. He's got 6 strikeouts. He doesn't really give you competitive at-bats right now. And a more competitive at-bat than a pitcher – I guess, yeah, technically speaking, yes, but enough to take out Gene Segura, who had 4 hits on Friday. He had 3 hits on Saturday. My argument would be no. And that's something that's kind of flown under the radar a little bit with this team as well, I think, is that their bench is just not very good. I mean, you know, who's their most potent bench bat? It's Brad Miller for sure. And then after that, you're looking at Andrew Knapp.
Right.
And I that's not a good situation for the Phillies to be in the National League. You know, like, think that all the, you know, years ago they had Greg Dobbs, they had Ross Glow, they had good bench bats that if they had double switched last night and said, well, all right, we're going to have Greg Dobbs come in and hit, all right, that makes sense. he can hit a home run or a double in the gap.
Right.
Scott Kingery right now is not giving you anything, so why go do it, in other words.
Final question I have for you, Todd. After Saturday night's very depressing, disappointing, heart-wrenching loss, you now rely on your ace. I mean, it worked out well in that sense to where you're like, all right, well, at least you have Aaron Nola on the mound, Sunday night, national audience. You know, this is where he has to perform and get everybody back on track and give you a chance to take down the Braves in the rubber game. Instead, he allows four runs in the first, and the game's over after the first inning. Todd, what's going on?
Yeah, he's been so up and down. You know, he had that shutout, that the first nine-inning shutout of his career on April 18th against the Cardinals, and since then, he's kind of had to grind through all of his starts. And, you know, it was interesting because I asked Joe Saturday night, I said, are you worried about this kind of killing this momentum you guys started to build? He said, in baseball, I believe the momentum is only as good as your next day starting pitcher. In other words, he felt really good because Aaron Nola was on the mound. And, you know, he just did not step up and deliver. And, you know, Nola's still, you know, is he a quote-unquote ace? Well, I don't
no,
know if you would call him
yeah,
that.
I can answer that for you.
Yeah,
no.
Right. I mean, like, he's not in that upper echelon, but he's in
but
the next.
But he's very good.
Yeah, he's a very, very good starting pitcher. Like, there are 29 other teams that would love to have Aaron Nola in the rotation, but is he a guy that you know going in? Remember what Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee did from 2009 to 11. When those guys were on the mound, you're like, this game, they're probably going to win this game. There's no doubt. With Nola right now, there is that gray area. You go, which Nola are you going to get? Are you going to get the shutout Nola, or are you going to get the six innings, you know, 3-4 run Nola? And I feel like kind of like with Neris, you know, it's either he does the job or it really all falls apart. I feel like with Nola, it's like this, he's either really dominant or it's kind of like this, he really has to grind through six innings. And last night, he didn't even do that.
Todd Zielecki covers.
Wait, hold on.
I'm sorry.
We forgot to ask him.
Oh, what's that?
The Aaron Rodgers situation.
Oh, my gosh. Why would you bring that up?
Go ahead, Rhea.
Go ahead,
what
Rhea.
What is going on with your Packers?
I don't know. And this is – it's so sad to see this. I hope he doesn't want out of Green Bay because he's getting married to Shailene Woodley and he wants the Jeopardy job. That would be so sad. And the stuff I have read about Aaron Rodgers – being upset because, you know, they cut this six
practice squad guy
a couple years ago. I mean, if that's the type of thing that gets under your skin, oh my goodness. Obviously, I hope it doesn't happen, but I keep telling myself, my dad and I, we got to go to that Super Bowl several years ago when they beat the Steelers. So
it's been many years ago now.
It has been many years ago.
For having Aaron Rodgers.
If they trade him and they blow it up, at least I can say I went to a Super Bowl and I watched my team win.
he's already preparing himself. Todd Zielecki.
I am. I hope it doesn't happen, but I think it probably will.
Todd does a brilliant job covering the Phillies for MLB.com. You should be following him on Twitter for links to all his stories and the latest Phillies news at Todd Zielecki. Todd, thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
The amazing thing about Aaron Rodgers is everybody keeps blaming the girlfriends and now the fiance for his issues. And I'm going, at what point is he just – he seems like a miserable person.
I
liked him on Jeopardy. I thought he kind of got fun, but he just doesn't strike me as a guy who's
– he's a serial dater. He's a serial dater, Al.
Yeah, he dates women for a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, very you know, high profile, you know, girlfriends as well, and none of them seem to pan out. Well, this one might. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. They seem really cutesy tootsy on Instagram.
Cutesy? What's cutesy tootsy?
I mean, like they're really like very much into each other. Where they're filming, they did a whole thing where she's getting them ready for Jeopardy, and he's doing the questions, and people were fielding questions to Shailene Woodley and Aaron Rodgers, and they are just seem so happy.
Al, can you do something for me real quick?
What is it?
I need it for my own personal reasons. Can you say cutesy tootsy?
Cutesy tootsy.
Thank you. I'm saying.